95.3 and 101.1 The Eagle. I'm Fred Tomlinson. We have John Waite on the line right now. Where are you at right now, John?
I'm in Santa Monica on the balcony, looking out at some palm trees and some fog, actually.
Oh, that's too nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to do this right off the bat because I know you got a birthday coming up, right? Early happy birthday to John Waite. You know, we celebrate your birthday with fireworks, don't you?
Yeah, it's weird being born on the 4th of July and being English.
Yeah.
But, you know, in my heart, I think I'm an American. I, as English as I am, I believe in America, and I believe in the fact that so many people from around the world came to America to be Americans. And the ideology of it is pretty beautiful. And, God bless America.
Cool. Well, happy birthday. July 4th. Where were you born, actually?
Lancaster, England, 70 miles from Liverpool, going northwest, and it's 62 miles west of Manchester. It's about 2 miles off the coast.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Don't all British acts from that area get compared to the Beatles?
No. I mean, it's a very, very musical part of Britain. The northwest is just... If you're born in the Northwest, you've probably got a guitar in your hand or you're looking at a piano.
Right.
I mean, it's just for some reason, a lot of Irish people came over and settled in the Northwest, and the Irish people have so much music in them. It's just part of the world, you know, it's just part of what we do.
That's fantastic. Now, will we get a chance to hear any of the Babies or Bad English songs that you sang lead on Saturday night?
We run the gamut. We pile it on. We have like, hey man, there's so many hits. Every Time I Think of You, Head First, When I See You Smile, Missing You, In Dreams, If You Ever Get Lonely, Back on My Feet Again. We have so many songs.
And we love them all.
The point is what to play and what not to play.
Oh.
And to try and make it interesting for people by throwing a few new things in there. But it's a pretty two-fisted operation. We've really got the, you know, it's just great. We have a great time.
Beautiful. And now, is it true that you were only planning on keeping the Baby's name as the band name for only 2 weeks? Did I hear that?
Yeah, we thought, we couldn't get signed at all. And we just couldn't get signed. So we made a video of the band playing, and we called ourselves the Babies, thinking it would be like a really off-the-wall name and that somebody would come down and think we're like Teen Idols. And they did, which was sort of... It was kind of wonderful because it backfired on us. And it was kind of like, the first idea you have is the best. But in our case, it was kind of like, wow. I mean, it just really... pushed us to the front of the line. But we were going to just change it to the, you know, whatever we're going to be. But once it got rolling, it was just huge.
Right. What now, I heard something about you guys were playing in Cincinnati the day after John Lennon was shot, and someone got up on stage and knocked you down.
No. I spun around.
Okay.
When John Lennon got shot, I think everybody was just in a daze. I think we're all... I was very upset. I mean, everybody was upset. It's like saying the sky's blue. It was just unimaginable that somebody could do that to John Lennon, especially with his philosophy about trying to bring the world together and give peace a chance and his outspoken views on everything that was right, you know, and somebody shot him.
All right.
I was just walking around kicking things and... I was so angry, it was unbelievable, as everybody was. And I think I was on stage performing these songs. I was just about to explode, really. I can't really explain it. But I spun around and my knee didn't go with me. And I kind of tore all the cartilage in my knee and went down like a sack of coal, as we say in England.
Right.
And that was it. And we went on to Akron the next night and played there. But I got carried off stage. I was in so much pain, I just couldn't perform.
Wow.
That was the end. To go out.
That's what I understand. Night. Akron was the last live that you guys did, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, Chrissy Hynde came from Akron.
Mm-hmm.
So as kind of off the wall as it might sound, it seemed like, you know, I admire Chrissy very much, and I thought it was kind of sweet to sort of end that chapter of my life mm-hmm. in a place that she was born. It just seemed kind of cool.
How interesting that the rest of that group, the Pretenders, was from the UK, right?
Yeah, weird. You know, incredibly weird, yeah.
Anything interesting that you can tell me about the naming of the next band that you started, Bad English?
No, not really. I think we're playing pool, and you put English on a ball, and we're bad, and there you go. You know, it wasn't a big deal. It was just like a name. We couldn't find anything, you know.
Right. Well, that's interesting, because I've wondered for weeks what that was. Thought I'd ask you.
Now, well, I'm English and I'm bad.
Hey, so when I See You Smile went to number one, and you went top five with the Price of Love. How did that feel?
Yeah.
Going to the top.
Well, you know, it wasn't the first time, and but you're always grateful. When you make these records, you hope that people are going to respond, and you're speaking from the heart, you know, so you hope people listen from the heart. Mm-hmm. And it was a glorious moment to get right back up there again with such a terrific band. You know, we were really capable of, like, just, you know, setting the bar about another couple of feet higher, and mm-hmm. we did. You know, it's just the Journey guys were, I think, well, Jonathan Cain was probably wanting to get back to Journey, but I think Neil was having a great time.
Right.
And we all were having a great time. I think Jonathan wasn't. I think he was sort of like more concerned with his past. Well, we'd all had a really great past, and we're looking to the future, but you can never tell. I have no idea what he's thinking.
Were you all looking in a maybe a different direction at that time?
No. It stopped being a band at some point because of the people wanted to do something else, you know. But when we were good, we were really great, you know.
Did you like being called a glam metal band?
No, we weren't really. I've always been a sharp dresser. I don't care, you know, if I'm sort of on the street. Going down to Whole Foods to buy a salad or something, I always like look kind of like I mean it, and I've done that since I was a kid. I mean, it's just part of being British. But we all like to dress up and look sharp, and it's part of being a guy.
Now, your buddies from the Babies and Bad English, Journey has gone through some personnel changes through the years. Were you ever, or would you ever consider singing with John and Neil again?
No, I'd work with Neil. Well, me and Neil are talking about doing a band together right now.
Oh.
We're actually talking about making a record in about 6 months. And I like that. I think that's really cool. But I don't really... the Journey thing is a specific thing. And the vocal sound is a specific thing. And I don't sing like that. I sing like blues. And it's kind of like my own style. But my influences are blues. They're not so smooth mm-hmm. as I think they might be with Journey. But all respect to Journey, I whatever, you know. But it's not really my thing, so I don't think it would ever happen.
Speaking of your thing, Missing You, number one song in 84, considered a major debut artist in that year. Let me tell you, it shows up as number 699 on the Billboard Top 1000 Hits of the Rock Era list. That is huge.
Oh, really?
You charted above I Want You Back from the Jackson 5, above Elton John's Benny and the Jets, and the Beatles Come Together.
Wow.
That's got to feel good.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. But I'm very touched. It took about 10 minutes to write it. I made the thing up on the spot. I sang the whole... It was sung over somebody else's changes in a recording studio, a home studio, and I just made the whole thing up. And it took about 10 minutes. The whole first verse chorus was one piece. It just came out. I was married at the time. I was trying to get home to England. I was trying to finish the record, and I was feeling it. I was worn out and tired and anxious, and I missed New York, which was like kind of weird because it wasn't England, but I missed all the things that I'd become, like a New Yorker, and I think some of the song is really about New York. But those songs that happen like that, you cannot contrive them. You cannot sit down and say, right, we're going to write a hit. It doesn't work like that. You close your eyes, and it's like a Zen thing, and you step forward. If it's a rock song or a heavy metal song or a ballad, country song, blues song, that's how you write those songs. And that's how that was written. It was completely natural.
And I think everybody thinks they have their own meaning for a song like Missing You. Am I right? Do people walk up to you and talk about that?
Denial. It's about trying to get through. At that point in my life, I was trying to get through the next 2 weeks to finish the record and get home. And it was about denial. It was trying to stay tough. You know, guys try and hang tough, and they always make fools of themselves, you know. As I sang it, I realized, you know, what I was actually feeling.
That's interesting. Now, everyone these days kind of looks at the set list on the internet. When you're up on stage and you're doing your own stuff your way, do you ever have moods where you feel like taking the show in a different direction?
Oh, absolutely. If somebody shouts out something like for the more obscure songs, I have a lot of fun, and just the band, we just go into it. You know, I mean, we have so many songs, you know. There's the hits that people know that are million sellers, and then there's this other songs behind that are like the real kind of McCoy. And if you can stir those into the hits, see if we can do it, you know.
Right. Any favorite songs that you personally have that you like to share that weren't necessarily hits that we should maybe look for?
Downtown off the Temple Bar record is a huge song for me. And New York City Girl. If You Ever Get Lonely from the Rough and Tumble album. They're songs that are like just, I mean, man, that's on the money, you know? I mean, I got a new acoustic record coming out in about 6 weeks.
Oh, you do?
And it's some new versions of, like, you know, Missing You and, you know, all the songs you'd expect. But there's also the really dark songs mixed in there, too. And when I listened to it once and I couldn't take it. I didn't know who'd written it. It was like, it's what I do best. And yet when I heard it in sequence, some songs, the masters from like 20 years ago, and then new songs cut with the same guitar player, Shane Fontaine. He came into the studio and worked with me. But that was like my biography. It was like autobiography. And it's called Wooden Heart, and it's out in 6 weeks. There's Wooden Heart Volume 2 on the internet right now on iTunes. You can get that. But that's what we're doing at the moment. I mean, the gig we're going to play for you next week is a full-on rock show with, you know, everything thrown in. But we're on tour doing this thing with two acoustic guitars, electric bass, and a small drum kit. And it's like an evening with John Waite. And you can ask questions, and I'll play any song you come up with, and I'll play Big Bill Brunsey songs or Howlin' Wolf or Bob Dylan mixed into it as well. It's a very interesting sort of way to go. So I live in two worlds, really, like a hard rock, melodic kind of rock world, and then the unplug thing. So I couldn't be happier, really. I'm having a great time at the moment.
So you have? Do you still play bass and sing?
No. The reason I quit was I couldn't backphrase like I wanted to.
Okay.
And really just pick my moments to come in. My phrasing got like Willie Nelson. You know, Willie Nelson starts a phrase off before the bar even arrives, and the bar can go, and he's not sung that phrase yet. I mean, his phrasing is nuts. But I'm the same way kind of thing. It's a blues phrasing that's behind the beat. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to concentrate on that, and I thought I'd be a better singer if I did. Having said that, I just heard some live stuff from the early Baby stuff, and I can't believe that I was actually that in the moment. But I always have been kind of in the moment.
That's interesting. Now, okay, so you've got this one coming out in about 6 weeks, mostly acoustical, and then the Neil thing that you're doing. Are you coming up with a band name for that, or is it just
No, I have no idea what it's called.
Okay,
I mean, me and Neil are just batting ideas about and talking about how to go in real quick and do it. I don't want to spend like 2 months writing. I think me and Neil could probably write a whole record in about a week. And seriously, we could. I mean, the one thing about Neil that's really tremendous is that he's all about the music. And you sing in a line of something, and he just comes in with something. I mean, he's completely spontaneous. And so am I. And we haven't worked together for 20 years. And I think it would be fabulous to just hit it and record it. You know, I mean, just like a session, like 12 songs recorded live in a warehouse somewhere, you know?
That should be interesting. Now, Neil, just a week or two ago, said that he was just thinking about doing stuff with some of the guys that he hadn't seen or talked to in a long time that he had played with. So I think he's getting this thing underway with you, isn't he?
I have no idea. I mean, Neil's connected, man. And he's like, he's in Santana, and he loves to play.
Right.
And he keeps putting records out. I mean, he's music. I mean, he's like a walking piece of music.
Well, that's interesting. Now, John, we're all looking forward to the show on Saturday night at Miami Valley Gaming. I understand you go on stage at 9 o'clock, but a whole bunch of bands before you. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us here on The Eagle. And we'll see you on Saturday night. How's that sound?
Well, yeah, I'll make sure I look sharp.
All right, and John, I'll try to look sharp myself. How's that sound?
Well, why don't you come back and say hello?
I will. I will. I promise you, I will. Thank you very much, John Waite.
Yeah, God bless you. Thanks so much. I enjoy the conversation.
And,
God bless you.
Enjoy the balcony. And the view there.
I'm enjoying it as we speak.
All right. Thank you very much. 95.3 and 101.1, The Eagle and Miami Valley Gaming presents Rhythm and Brews this Saturday from 1 to 10 p.m. with 60 different beers from 24 different area breweries on tap and John Waite on stage, presented by Yuengling. I'm Fred Tomlinson. I'll be out there live Saturday evening broadcasting from Miami Valley Gaming. I hope to see you out there for some 80s rock fun.